This is the Apple This Extra.
Welcome to this very special fitness edition of our Apple This Extra podcast. I'm Jamie Pauls, and with me on this particular episode is, first of all, let's do ladies first, Lisa Salinger. Lisa, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Good. You can find Lisa's work over at the Blind Alive podcast. I also do some audio editing over there, but Lisa does all kinds of stuff with Mel and the team. So very appropriate that you would be talking about fitness this evening with us. Also, Mr. Mike Malarcy, who's definitely a fitness guy himself. Well, first of all, Lisa, lisasalinger.com, is it .net, your personal website?
Oh, let's not send people there.
Okay. All
right. It's in shambles.
All right.
Best probably, at least for now, to send them to Twitter.
Gotcha.
My username is LISASALI.
Ah, a bit of a letter scramble there, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's just the first 8 letters of my first and last name, but I didn't realize the whole letter scramble or how that would mess with people's heads when I first set that up.
Well, Mike Malarcy, is it just malarcy.com? Is
that correct?
Yeah, M-A-L-A-R-S-I-E. What can people find over there if they go check it out?
Oh, a new podcast that I started with my wife and a bunch of just random stories, whatever kind of strikes my fancy. It's sort of my brain dump online, so you never quite know what you're going to get, but I keep it fun, I like to say.
Good. And finally, Mr. Alex Hall, member of the editorial team. Alex, good to have you with us this time around.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I've been looking forward to this most of the day. I had kind of a frustrating day playing with computers and SQL and a bunch of stuff at work. So it's good to kind of come here and do this. And then I'll be going for my daily walk after this so that I can try and be more fit.
There you go. All right. And people can certainly check out your work over at VO Tips, one of my favorite Twitter feeds, just because you just pop up little random cool little tidbits of voiceover goodness.
If I discover something that I didn't know, I'm like, oh, this is cool. People have to know about this.
Yeah.
I don't tend to repeat things on there either. It's more of a, if you want the past ones, go to the timeline type deal.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, watch OS, TV OS, Mac, iPhone, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a great resource for the novice and the seasoned user. I also do some iOS instruction, and I send people there for helpful resources and tips.
Oh, thanks.
Well, all right. So some of us are in various degrees of fitness or maybe lack thereof. I've taken the winter off a little bit, but really kind of wanting to get back into things. And Mr. Malarcy is, I think we can all probably agree, I suspect, in the best shape of all of us, maybe.
Hands down.
I thought it would be kind of fun to just take the parts of our day in the, I believe it's the advertising business, or maybe it's the radio business. They have what are called day parts. And so you produce content for different times of the day, drive time or whatever. So we'll kind of do day parts as it relates to fitness, I think. And let's start with our waking up time. It's one of those things that if you quote unquote wake up on the wrong side of the bed, sleep late like I did not too long ago, man, your whole day is just kind of shot, at least for half the day anyway. If you're lucky, you get it back before the day's over. But Lisa, do you have any particular thing that you do to kind of help you wake up and get your day started in the right way?
Well, the first thing I do is pull the pillow over my head and insist that it can't be morning. But I'm not really a morning person, but I actually do. And it's not anything you would have to get from the app store. I know that some people like to start their day with reflection or whatever. I tend to save that more for the night. I kind of want to hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. I jokingly say that I get up, I get started, and I do my workout so that by the time I wake up, I'm halfway through. But the thing that I use and really value, and this is going to sound like a silly little thing and like I'm grasping for something, but I couldn't be more serious. I really like the alarm app in iOS.
Okay.
The clock app, specifically the alarm tab. Some of this, I think, is common to all of us, and some is unique to me. One of the things that's a little unique to me is that I don't make adrenaline. So if there is a stress, my adrenaline levels can go down, and that can cause unpleasant side effects. If my levels are already kind of low, it's kind of a thing that sort of feeds on itself. It can get worse and worse. And so if, let's say, my body is already under stress, like an illness, mm-hmm. and then that alarm goes off in the morning and it's that beep, 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 yeah. that very insistent, here's Lisa, you know, needing to be peeled down off the ceiling.
Right.
And I find it's not good for me from an adrenaline standpoint, but even just a peace of mind standpoint to start my day with that. So I love the clock app because I can choose my alarm. I can choose for it to be a song. Mm-hmm. I can choose for it to be a ringtone. I can choose whatever. And I really thought that I would sleep through it.
Right.
And I don't, because it would just keep repeating that song. So far, I've never incorporated it into a dream or anything like that.
Right.
For about 2 years, I set a backup alarm just in case, and it hadn't happened. So I've been using that for as long as it's been available on iOS, that you could set a song.
Yeah.
And that to me is just a great way to start my morning.
I'm still using the old Sharp Talking Time 1 from the 80s that still, believe it or not, works.
Wow.
Yeah, and it plays that little toccata in D. I forget who wrote that, but it's very, very unique. But yeah, I've used the alarm, and you're right. It's because it's kind of subtle, but and you would think that maybe you just wouldn't bother to wake up. But I find that I've never had that problem either. Mike, you have an Apple Watch, and Alex, you Correct. Have an Apple Watch. Well, yes, I'll let you, Mike, talk about your wake routine and kind of getting your day started, and then we'll let Alex. But do you guys, either one of you, wake up to the Apple Watch alarm?
Yes.
I normally do.
Okay.
It's kind of half and half for me. Usually I'm pretty good at just waking up kind of on time. When I keep that routine going, we were just up in Idaho at a lake and no kids around, so we just slept whenever we felt like it. So right now I'm a little off. But normally, when the routine again is happening, we get up at 5. Mm-hmm. And so I'll wake up about 5 minutes before my alarm goes off. And that's when things are going properly. But I do set that alarm on my watch. And I actually went through a really long phase where it would go off. I would pick it up and hit snooze and then put it on my wrist. And then the second time it went off, it would just really gently vibrate on my wrist. And
oh, wow.
It was kind of a nice little, a really gentle wake up. There's not even any noise to it at all. It's just this little shaking on my wrist, and I'd get up and turn it off and kind of get going.
Interesting. Now, Lisa, do you have an Apple Watch currently or not?
I don't.
Okay, I don't either.
I have thought about it, mm-hmm. but I haven't for a few reasons. Without belaboring it, two reasons, I guess. One is that I have a Fitbit, mm-hmm. and pretty much what I want is the ability to count steps, and it does that. The other thing, and this is sort of also a question for those on our panel who use an Apple Watch, I heard with some of the Fitbits, the ones that you wear on your wrist, that, for example, if you're walking and you are walking with a guide dog, or you are walking pushing a baby stroller, that it won't register your steps because your arms aren't swinging naturally. And so I'm curious if you've noticed similar things like that with the Apple Watch. Often I will walk in place, or I'll use a machine and maybe I'll be kind of working my iPhone with one hand, and I think, you know, it's not going to get any back and forth naturally walking arm movement, so maybe an Apple Watch is not for me.
I haven't noticed that, to be totally honest with you. Usually when I'm out walking around outside, I'll turn on either an outdoor walk or an outdoor run or whatever it is that I'm doing. And I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't just use the accelerometer. Because the first few times it'll have you bring your phone with you and use GPS to calibrate how far you've gone. And it'll basically kind of estimate your step and things like that, your pace. And so the watch can track it a little more accurately. But I don't know. And maybe that's because I usually have my phone with me too on most things.
Yeah.
But I haven't noticed any big discrepancies with that. So I could be completely wrong. Other people might have a very different experience. But for me, and maybe I don't push kids in strollers. Maybe that's it. I don't really know.
Yeah. And it could be that this will be changing because the other day I saw that the Fitbit had incorporated new features where you could track your movement. And you could do it on the Fitbit this and the Fitbit that. I can't remember all the models. But you couldn't do it on the Fitbit One, which is what I have, which I chose because you wear it on your body, not on your wrist. But it won't work for my particular Fitbit. So I think that model could be kind of aging out of the Fitbit universe. Mm. And so, you know, and I've had it for a while. Apparently, one day you just wake up and they decide that they are not going to join you. So who knows what I will do in the future.
My reason for not having a watch right now is at this point, I'm going to just kind of wait and see if Apple talks about new watches in June at WWDC or sometime in the summer, because I figure I've waited long enough at this point that I might as well wait and see if a second generation, there's nothing particularly that I don't like about the first watch from what I've heard or anything like that. I just want to see what they might be coming out with. So
The new one's always going to be better.
Well. Oh yeah, exactly.
And the rumors are mixed. Some say, oh, there's going to be a new one. It's going to be great. And then there are other rumors that say nothing until 2017.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, Alex, do you have anything to add about wake routines? If you're kind of like me, you just kind of hop up and start your day. And I drink coffee and check the internet, which is probably not the best way to wake up, but I tend to do that. So.
I get up with my watch. I actually sleep with my watch on, which a lot of people tend not to do because it's kind of common sense. You know, you go to bed, you charge your watch because you're not going to be using it anyway. But I was talking to Jonathan Mosen, and he recommended Sleep Plus Plus, which is a little app to track your sleep. And it's sleeping hours. It's the time that you get the most sleep, and it's the time that you're active and kind of restless during the night. And I started using that, and I like it. Not so much because I have to track my sleep really diligently, but because it lets me know how long I'm sleeping. So I can look back and say, I was so tired this week. Oh, that's why I was only getting 5.5 hours of sleep a night. So it's a nice little tracker that way.
Yeah.
And then it's right on my wrist. So when it goes off at 6 a.m, as Mike said, you just have this alarm kind of gently vibrating on your wrist. Mine has a dinging sound. I always have my watch unmuted, but even then it's not intrusive. It's not super loud. It's a really nice thing to wake up to.
Yeah.
And really I really enjoy that. And when I get up, I don't do a workout because I don't.
I don't.
I know I should.
We all should, but yeah, that's okay.
But what I find is that if I do it in the morning, I'm exhausted during the day. I'm way more tired than if I don't do one.
Okay.
Which I don't know. It's just the way I'm built, I guess. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But if I do too much in the morning, I'm done for the day.
Well, and I think that's an important thing to say kind of almost from the outset is that there's no right answer. I mean, everyone does things differently. And you kind of have to be in tune with your body enough to know, hey, this really works for me or this is not going to work at all. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. So, let's say that we're up and about, maybe we've done our morning routine, eaten a decent breakfast, or maybe not so decent breakfast. We won't talk about that because we all know we should eat a good breakfast, which, you know, I suppose, again, it kind of depends on. My wife has a terrible time eating breakfast. She just doesn't like it and she struggles. Me, I want something to eat almost about the same time my feet hit the floor. I'm ready to.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. So to each their own, I suppose. But as we're going through the day, obviously it's important to get the right amount of calories. It's important to try to eat the right things as much as possible. What are some ways that you all have found to track calories, to track eating habits, that sort of thing. And Mike, I guess we'll start with you on this one.
So when it comes to food, I guess for me, I don't usually eat for fun. Like, it's not my favorite thing. And if I could have a wish, it would be that I would never have to eat, just because it would save me so much time and energy and tons of money. So I do it just because I kind of need to. So in the morning, I'm kind of like your wife, like I don't necessarily want something. So I just have kind of a meal replacement shake. Mm-hmm. And then usually lunch will consist of eggs or some kind of protein, and a similar thing for dinner, vegetables, things like that. But for me, depending on what I'm trying to do, if I'm trying to lose a couple pounds or if I'm trying to, you know, whatever goal that I might have set, I do kind of different things. And one of the, especially for weight loss, one of the apps that has really helped me was the MyFitnessPal app. Mm-hmm. Because it lets you, it's kind of a weird interface. It takes a little bit to get used to, but you can track literally everything that you eat. And for me, if I'm in a rut and I've been eating pizza, you know, twice a day and just being really bad, I'll get this app out and I'll tell myself, okay, for a week, I'm going to commit to putting everything in here. Mm-hmm. And for me, I can, as I'm doing that, I can look back like, okay, how was yesterday? And I'll see how many calories I consumed. And I'm like, holy crap. Okay, so this is not good. This is not a sustainable amount.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's not the kind of thing that I do every day. It's not consistently, mainly because what I eat really doesn't change that much. But it really is a good, it's a good data point to be able to look back at and see, okay, when I ate like this, I felt this way. I mean, I felt really good that week. So what did I eat? And you can kind of see what there is. And then, you know, when you eat like garbage and you kind of end up feeling like garbage, you can look at that too.
Yeah.
And it's just a really good kind of a representation and a log of what you've had, what you put in your body.
I agree with you. The first time I played with MyFitnessPal, the first few times, I was like, I almost hated it. But I could tell it was a really good app. And the more I worked with it, the more it's one of those apps that in some places Explore by Touch is the best option. In some places you need a flick. And you just,
exactly.
You literally have to figure out, or swipe, whatever the right term is. What you eventually, you just have to figure out what to do where. But it's not as hard as it sounds.
It's really not too bad. And I encourage people that, especially those who haven't tried and are thinking about it, to be like committed to it. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do it, you know, when it comes to fitness, nobody's going to hold you accountable. You're not going to, you know, fail any test or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hold yourself accountable and put in, when you add that piece of cheesecake and see that extra 1300 calories, it'll make you think twice the next time you're thinking about getting cheesecake. So that's what's been the most helpful for me.
Something else that I do find that's quite helpful I use the website from time to time, myfitnesspal.com. I've not tried it in Windows. I've tried it in Safari on the Mac, and it's actually quite friendly to use. And in some ways, I actually prefer it. The database on MyFitnessPal is quite good. It's, you can find about anything, either the exact thing you ate or something really close, if you do a search. So
And it makes it really easy, and it's not perfect, you know. It is a kind of a calorie counter, so there's nutrition is a lot more complex than calories in, calories out. So that's definitely something to be aware of, but it is a good kind of a basic tool to give you a starting point to work from.
Okay.
I think, though, now with MyFitnessPal, you can monitor those kinds of nutrients and things, so you can get a better idea of how much cholesterol, how much fiber, things like that. I used MyFitnessPal steadily, day in, day out, for about a year and a half. Wow. It was something I needed to do for me, to just really get a good handle on things. And it's only been about a month ago, I guess, that I stopped using it, because I thought, okay, first of all, it does take a commitment of time. And I thought, okay, I've got this handled. I was getting pretty good at estimating things, and I was usually right. But I can see myself going back to it if I need a tune-up. The other thing is, I was using it also to gauge how much I should be eating, and it seemed like it was allowing me a lot more calories than I thought I should have.
Yes.
And also a lot more than, like, these website kind of, you know, calorie counters and experts said I should be. So, you know, these things are a guide. They're not a be-all and end-all. And some people will get really obsessive about it, and they'll say, you know, I couldn't find, you know, the ABC brand of chocolate chip cookies in here, so I'm just going to give up counting my food. No, no. If you need to track it, if you need to count it, you can always look at three different chocolate chip cookies and just kind of take an average.
Because a lot of times they're very close. The calories are very close.
They are. And you can interface MyFitnessPal with Fitbit, which I've done. The other thing is sometimes if something isn't in the database for MyFitnessPal, I'll go looking for it other places. And one place is the Calorie King app that has foods by grocery store brands. They have a lot of restaurant and fast foods. You won't so much find, you know, your basic like apples and things like that that are commonly found other places, but it gives you, you know, if you're having something at, I don't know, Olive Garden, just to pick one out of the blue, it may have it where another app might not be. So it's really about looking around. The other thing is if I have, let's say, a can of Progresso vegetable soup, you know, it may say this many calories in a half cup. But see, I wasn't really good and I didn't measure it out by the half cup because, you know, I want to eat and move on to something else here. And, you know, I do find it pleasurable, and that kind of goes away when you measure by the half cup, you know, not so much like, I don't know, I just think it's a little silly. So it'll say, you know, this many calories per half cup or this many calories per serving. So what I've done is I've gone on my iPhone to directionsforme.org, and then I've made a shortcut, and I have it in the folder with my health apps. So it essentially looks to me like an app, and when I double tap directions for me, it opens up Safari, and I can type in whatever, and I can find out that that progressive or
Progresso.
Progressive is audio insurance or auto insurance. Oh, yeah. Great. Yes. I can find out that that Progresso soup has 2.5 servings in the can. And then I can make those adjustments in MyFitnessPal.
So that's one really good option or several good options. Another option that I've played with a little bit, I know Lisa has because I've heard her do a podcast on it. And Alex, from previous conversations that you and I've had, you also have worked with the Carrot apps.
I love Carrot. Yes. Carrot's my
apps with teeth.
Apps with teeth. Tell us about Carrot for those who don't know.
Well, Carrot is essentially a group of apps by Brian Mueller. And they're apps to help you get things done by motivating you by being a little bit mean. So, yeah. For instance, I was doing a workout with Carrot Fit app the other day, and Carrot politely informed me that she had ordered me my warning wide load ahead sign.
Sweet.
Just things like that. And Carrot comes with, there are different apps for it. Fit, which is basically for fitness. You can do a 7-minute body weight exercise workout. So you don't need a machine. You don't need anything except a chair to step onto and off of, a wall to sit against, and that's it, really. You're just your own weight. Everything else is all in yourself.
Okay.
Carrot Hunger is the calorie tracking app, and I like Carrot Hunger a lot. I don't use it much. I tend to do what Mike and Lisa do, kind of check in every so often if I realize that I've been eating a whole lot of stuff I shouldn't, or, you know, if I'm just not feeling great, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Use it for a few days a week. But what I do like about it is that you have an option to have a badge, and the badge can show you how many calories you have left for the day. So you can just leave it on your home screen. I can just touch Carrot and it'll say, you know, Carrot Fit 2000 new items. And of course that's voiceover saying new items, but it is actually calories that I have left for the day. And the really cool part is because I've got an Apple Watch, whenever I do anything with the Apple Watch or it tracks a workout or it notices I did something, calories are added. So I can go from 2,000 to 2,400 when I get home from my walk. Mm-hmm. And I know that because all I've got to do is touch the Carrot app and it updates itself with a new badge.
That's awesome.
So it's a really nice way, even if you don't track your calories, if you know how many your base is, like mine's 2,349. That's how it starts every day. That's how many I could have. Mm-hmm. If I end up with, 2,700, great, cool. I did stuff, It's a really quick and easy way of seeing that. So that's kind of my workout plus calorie tracking, actually, is the calories. I don't use that often, but it's there. And mm-hmm. I like the calorie tracking part of it, the badge. And then Carrot Fit is my workout. I try to do that every day. I've managed to do it every day so far from last Sunday to this Wednesday. So 10 days. And then tonight when we're done here, I will go do another one. Okay. It's a great thing to have just because you don't need all the equipment. You don't need to know how to do this. Well, you do need to know how to do the exercises. I should not say that. You definitely need to know how to do them and how to do them correctly and safely. Mm-hmm. But once you know them, you don't need machines. You don't need to go to a gym. You don't need a trainer. You don't need anything except your phone and 7 minutes.
Right. Okay. And it's worth saying, I think if not all these apps, surely most of them, probably all of them do have Apple Watch support, right? I know MyFitnessPal does. The Carrot apps do.
Fitbit does not, though. As far as I know, I don't think Fitbit integrates with the Health Kit at all.
Okay. That's right. That's right. It doesn't, does it?
It's its own little universe.
Right.
But, that's the beauty of this, too. The apps that work well for some people might not for other people. I mean, if you are highly sensitive and you get your feelings hurt easily.
For example,
Carrot. No, but I kind of thought of myself as a little sensitive. I'm not into rudeness for rudeness sake.
All right.
But I actually was pleasantly surprised because, I think sometimes inside we get so worked up and we take this stuff so seriously.
Yeah.
The first time Carrot called me meatbag, I just hooted. I really
funny.
Laughed.
Yeah, it's
was
funny.
Like, okay, it's time to relax. It's time to get over myself. And so, in a weird sort of way that I didn't expect, it helped. Now, another day, I might have had a completely different reaction, but that day it was all good.
I think it's because it's so over the top funny.
It is.
It's just so outlandish that you have to laugh.
The voice is this distorted Samantha voice. And so you'll never hear plain Samantha on your phone quite the same way ever again.
Yeah.
No.
It's like Samantha's evil twin. When I first heard it, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
No.
So we can move really naturally then kind of from we've been talking about waking up and sort of just getting our day going and counting calories and kind of the nuts and bolts. But we've all talked about the fact that the exercise, the workout is important. It's important to move, to be active in some way. There are probably a gazillion things. I kind of remember when the Zombies Run app was such a fad, the game encouraged you to walk. I've played with several, and I can't even remember the names of all of them, like the treadmill apps and things that are in various degrees of accessibility as far as, using them and tracking. But I think with the health app now and Apple Watch and Fitbit, it's a lot easier to figure out how many steps you've gone, how many miles you've walked. Surprising how many miles you can, or at least how many steps you can walk in the course of a day, just going to the grocery store and just doing stuff, Alex, what have you found that really helps you to kind of, I think you've mentioned it already, but I'll let you recap again to kind of help keep you honest and let you know that you're really getting enough activity.
Well, I'm not going to go over Carrot Fit again. That is my workout app. It's partly cardio, but it's mostly for strength training. The big thing, though, I've noticed, and I only got my Apple Watch within the last, I think, 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. It's pretty recent compared to most people. But the thing that I've noticed is it really does keep you on track. I put the little health circles, the three circles that you try to fill each day, on my watch face. So as soon as I tap the watch, I can touch the lower left and hear exactly how far I am along. And you just really want to fill the circles, you want to get to that 100% for all three, and you want to get the achievement for 7 days and a perfect month and a perfect whatever. So I find myself, I've wanted to do more for a while, you know, just more exercise in general, but partly it's where I live. It's been super cold and icy and horrible. And so now, coinciding with my getting my Apple Watch, is the weather's warming up.
So would you review for people who might not be familiar what those three circles are?
Oh, sorry. Yes, definitely. There are three circles. One of them is for standing, and it counts every time you stand for at least 1 minute out of every hour for up to 12 hours. Another one is movement, which is kind of poorly named because it really means calorie burning. And the third one is
exercise.
Yeah. And exercise is counted as when your heart rate is above a certain threshold for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
Walking, I find, gets me a whole lot more than I thought it would. I don't run. I don't have the vision to run. I don't have the body to run. I don't run. I will not run. Which is a good thing, because Cosby would not run either. He wouldn't run. That poor dog. But I walk, and I find that even a 2 mile walk can take me from 10% exercise to up to or over 100%.
Wow.
As long as I'm at a fast pace, you know, 3.5-ish miles per hour is where I tend to walk.
It's a nice Cosby clip. That's a good speed.
Yeah. It's moving pretty quick, but just 2 or so miles of that can usually fill my entire exercise for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then movement, you know, as you guys were saying, steps, as you're going to the store, you're walking around, you're doing whatever, that's all movement. And standing is just making sure that you stand for that minute out of 12 hours of the day. And it's not too hard. You do have to make time for it. And that's what I found is I can't, you know, I'm not sitting at my computer doing as much after work while I'm home, because I've got it in my head now that I have to go for my walk. I have to go do my carrot workout.
Yeah.
And I've found myself sometimes staying up later than I'd want to necessarily and getting a little bit less sleep. But I really want to see, at least for a while, I've gone 10 days so far. I want to see 2 weeks. Do I feel significantly better? How is this going to affect me? Because I've honestly never done 2 straight weeks of hitting all these goals before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other side of it, is the watch tells you, even when you do something on a day that you feel like you didn't do anything, and you're just like, this is not working, I don't feel any different, your watch is there to say, you hit these goals, no matter how you feel, you burned the calories, you did it. And it's not even so much a motivation thing as it is a keeping you on the path, because it's telling you, no matter how you feel about it, it actually did work.
It really is a good reminder. And I actually know a lot of people, I'm the same way, I check those circles, and I'm like, oh man, it's noon and I've only got 20% of my movement. I need to do something drastic.
Yep.
And you know, without that, I probably wouldn't even think about it. But just having that reminder right there on my wrist, it really has, for me too, made a big difference. And I've heard a lot of stories like that.
I think that's really important, is the fact that, because we tend to think, oh, these trackers are going to, you know, show me just how horrible I am. But you're saying just the opposite. You can actually find out that maybe you're actually doing a little better than you were giving yourself credit for of a day.
I've been able to go from, it starts with a default goal of, I think, 400 calories burned per day.
Uh-huh.
And I'm now up to 650, and it's really not that big a deal. You realize that you're doing more and can do more if you make the time for it than you ever thought you were. And this is just a way to quantify it and see it all right there.
Wow.
Yeah. And the watch is really good about, once you start nailing those goals consistently, it'll be like, hey, maybe it's a good time to up this a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly.
It never lets you finish it. It helps you keep improving. So by design.
Good deal. Yeah. Mike, I know that you do a lot of different kinds of, exercise, skiing. I'm not sure what all you do. Do you have some specialized things that maybe you use that other people might not as much?
Well, I am building my own CrossFit gym, so there is that.
Yeah.
But I do tend to do a lot of different things. Like, I'm signed up for a half marathon later in the year. CrossFit, yoga, I'm snowboarder, hiking, rock climbing. I just like doing different things and just kind of being active. And I guess I get bored with certain things after a while. I'm like, okay, time to switch gears and go try something new for a while.
Okay.
I have to keep my mind entertained. And it's nice to do different things. Like I've never been a very flexible, like physically flexible person, like never in my life. Now I've been in the military, and that's not really a thing you focus on. It's all about getting strong and and faster, things like that. So now I've actually been focusing more on the yoga side, just trying to build that up because I want to be flexible. And there are things that, and really it's just for me. Like I remember the first time you go touch my toes. I was like, holy crap, I did it. That was so cool. It's like, this is such a new thing. It took me, I think I was 26 the first time I finally did it. But, you know, just finding new goals and new things to strive for. Like it doesn't always have to be a certain weight or be able to lift X amount of pounds. Everybody wants something different. And I'm sure as everybody, all these listeners are hearing, there's different ways to go about it. And you'll find what motivates you, find what works for you, what kind of routine, and stick with it. And if your routine is kind of like mine, where you don't really have a routine and you just kind of pick something new every other week, then that's fine too.
But you know, that's what the Apple Watch is great for. No matter what you're doing, it knows how active you are and how much you're burning. So you don't have to keep it consistent. So you know, because your watch knows whatever you do.
Absolutely.
That's great. Makes me want to watch. I'm going to get one.
Yeah, me too.
It's pretty fun. It really is fun.
So we all have a different perspective on this stuff. Lisa, do you have anything that you might want to throw in that maybe you use that Mike hasn't or Alex hasn't mentioned?
I do. Mine are a little bit different, I suppose. And both sort of unlikely sounding. As I said, I use the Fitbit and I do use that to count my steps. Unfortunately, I sort of had the reverse situation. I walk or do something for an hour a day, every day. But then when I counted the steps that weren't during that active period of time, I was in deep trouble. I wasn't moving very much at all. So that was kind of a wake-up call. So I do use two apps, and one is more during my workout per se, and this is going to be maybe an odd pick, but I use VoiceDream Reader. And what I use that for is two things. As we alluded at the beginning of the podcast, Blind Alive does produce audio described workouts. And I find the easiest way to find and play these is to load them in VoiceDream Reader and play them back.
Okay.
And so I use that. I use that app for everything.
Yeah.
And then I don't do the workouts every day. And then on other days, I'll walk, and I love to read. So I will often load up a book and read. And often I'm just doing something in my home. And I'll kind of do this multi-layered sound thing where I'll have music on, you know, something with a beat on another device, and then I'll have VoiceDream Reader with my book, and I'll just do my thing. And so that's a huge help. Yeah, I've actually done it also using the, this sounds a little weird, but I liked it. I have the Aftershocks Bluetooth headset.
Sure, yeah.
And so I one time had that paired with my, what did I do? I think I had that. Yes, I had that paired with my phone. And that day I was playing music. And I had a book on my Victor Reader stream and I was listening with earbuds.
Oh, yeah.
So I just wanted to see what it would sound like and if it would work. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, it worked. And then the other app I use is one I've had almost since I got my first device, which was an iPod Touch way back when. And that is called Hourly Chime. And I don't remember if that was a free app or if it was maybe 99 cents or something. And it does one thing, and it does it well. And it has worked through every upgrade of VoiceOver. You don't see updates in the App Store, but you don't really need them.
Yeah.
and you can get this similarly from other apps. But basically, all it does is it chimes the hour. And that is my nudge, sort of. It's like, you know, my little conscience, because if I'm not getting work done in the way that I would like to, it's kind of a way of saying time's wasting. But also, if I'm really into what I'm doing, that will kind of say, hey, you know, you've been sitting in that one place for a while and you haven't moved and it's time. I think that one of the big problems we have is that if we're really into tech, like we all are, that sometimes the fitness can go by the wayside because tech people are sitting in front of screens or that kind of thing. And so this is why this topic intrigues me, because it's the merging of two different facets of life. And we really do need both. I mean, one is exercising our minds and the other is exercising our bodies. And so I think the anything that we can do to make them work together helps. I also have a stability ball, and I often will put that in front of my desk and I'll sit. I'm using it now. I'm sitting on it and just kind of bouncing and move, you know, often even just staying perfectly still, you know, because that will help strengthen core and balance, and it won't pick up on the mic like my squeaky chair was doing. Switched. So, you know, there's lots of ways to merge the two.
I'd like to play with a stability ball. I have two cats. I'm thinking that might not be a good plan.
Yeah, I remember a mutual friend of ours on Twitter had a stability ball and cats, and he had a I've fallen and I can't get up experience. So, yeah, I'm not so sure about that one.
No, no. All right.
You know, what Lisa said does remind me, though, of something else I wanted to mention real quick. The watch has stand reminders, which kind of sounds like Lisa's, your hourly chimes, sort of the same principle. But that doesn't mean you have to just stand up. What I tend to do, especially at work where I'm just alone in my office, whenever that goes off, I'll stand up, I'll walk around a bit, and then I'll drop and do some push-ups, you know, or I'll do something a little bit more active than just standing and pacing for a minute.
Yeah.
So it's not just stand, it's go do something active.
Right.
That's I have a question for you.
Make an app with suggestions for different things to do, because like they say that when you sit that you really should stretch out your hip flexors. I will stretch my hands or wrists because of carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
I find sometimes I'm leaning forward and there's no good reason. I'm not trying to stare at the screen. I have no sight. So there's no good reason, but I do it anyway. And so
same here. My posture's terrible.
Kind of stretch with my arms straight up. And, you know, you can do it for 5 seconds, but it's only until you hold it for almost 30 seconds that you kind of feel things, you know, snap, crackle, pop, and release, that it's really helpful.
You're just kind of having those things to help you remember to do it. But I was going to ask Alex if you've ever been guilty of when that little stand reminder goes off, just kind of waving your arm around like, I'm right in the middle of something really important. I'll get to it in a second. So I'm just going to wave my arm to check that box and I'll do it next time. Because I have done that. And
I haven't yet.
I have.
Don't give him any ideas. He's a goofy.
Yeah, here I am just a couple minutes ago talking about being accountable and doing things the right way. And now I'm admitting that I have done that. But I've actually shut my stand reminders off because I haven't missed that one in a really long time. So. Which is good.
And a lot of people do because the watch isn't perfect. Like my sister has an Apple Watch as well, and she hates the stand reminders because, you know, she stands for 2 hours straight doing whatever, cooking or doing something. Then as soon as she sits down for 2 minutes, the watch goes off and says, hey, you have to stand.
So, yeah, I usually hear my wife hollering about that.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I'd have some choice words for my watch.
So we've worked. Done our jobs, we've worked out, we've maybe been out with friends, that sort of thing. When the end of the day comes and it's time to wind down, sometimes that can be a real challenge. And I know I you know, I don't want to stay up a little bit. I want to watch a little TV or I want to watch play a game. And that's usually the worst thing to do because then an hour and a half later, you realize, wow, I really should be in bed. So, Alex, do you have any sleep routines, any wind down routines that you follow?
I do, and they're horrible.
Okay.
So,
tell us about
routine.
That. Yeah.
Most people I talk to, you know, they say, oh, I open my meditation app and I do this and I whatever. I tend to do my workouts. I've mentioned before what I do. When I do them tends to be anywhere between 8 and 10 at night. And I usually get up, as I said, at or before 6 in the morning, so not the best time. It's the only time I've got. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I don't wake up when I exercise. As long as I go to bed after 45 minutes or so, I'm usually fine because it just tires me right out. Some days it doesn't. Some days I'll find myself just unable to go to sleep for a while, but it usually works reasonably well. So I'll go to sleep. I'll get into bed. I will open up Sleep Plus Plus and tell it that I'm now sleeping because it can't do that automatically, which is a little bit annoying. Mm-hmm. Hopefully one day. And then I'll do something on my phone, and it's not active. You know, it's not like I'm sitting there playing Nano Empire,
right?
But I will read articles that I've saved to pocket throughout the day.
Yeah.
Or if I haven't been able to in a while, maybe I'll open up Twitter and just check those last few tweets before I go to bed. So more active than I should be probably, but I'm used to it. I don't have to do it. I can go to sleep without it. You know, it's not like something that, you know, people can't sleep without, say, a noisemaker or something. Mm-hmm. It's not like that for me, but I just enjoy it. It's probably not the best thing for me, and I should probably have the Headspace app open. I should probably be doing meditation stuff. I don't know. I've never tried that, honestly, but it works for me. Perhaps not as well as it could, but it does the job. So that's kind of what I do. I've got my, you know, take Cosby out for the last time, go up, do that, and hope that I haven't been reading something that makes me mad or makes me excited. you know, sometimes I will get in a coding project and I'll be like, oh, what? It's 11 o'clock already? Eh, a few more minutes. I'm good. And I'm trying to be better at that, partly because now, actually, Apple Watch again, I've got Sleep Plus Plus, and I don't want to go back and look and see that I went to bed at, you know, 11:30 at night for 3 days straight.
Yeah.
There's just something about having it written down, even if you never look at it, but knowing that it's recorded, that keeps you a little bit more honest.
Mike, what about you?
Well, really quick, actually, Alex, another thing that can back you up with helping you get like a normal sleep routine, have some kids. Because that's one of the things that forced me to adopt this kind of a new lifestyle. Because no matter how late I stay up or how early I go to bed, they're up at 6. So that was one thing that really encouraged me to like make some changes and try to go to sleep earlier.
Part of that is if you get a guide dog, kind of the same
thing.
Yeah,
oh yeah. Waking you up, poking you with his nose. Yeah, time to go.
You're done.
Yeah, so I've been pretty physically fit most of my life. That's never really been an issue, but it hasn't been until I guess the last 6-7 months that I've really started to focus more on the mental aspect. And I've been reading a lot of books and doing research on, like Alex was talking about, the meditation and being able to just calm my mind down and take all the worries and the stress and everything that, you know, life can tend to build up, you know, inside your head throughout the day and just get rid of all of it. And I've actually been, it's been really fascinating because I was the kind of person that I had to have an audiobook or music or something. Like I literally could not fall asleep without that stuff. I would lay there for an hour or two. But just after reading these books and learning some different techniques, now I'll actually use the Apple Music app to just turn on some nature sounds or some birds or the sound of a stream or whatever it is, and just a little bit of background noise. And usually I've actually lately been even working on doing it with total silence, which is pretty uncommon in my house with cats and kids and dogs and stuff. But so for me now, I'll usually get in bed. I usually shower at night. I'll do the shower thing and then lay down in bed and turn on this music and go through these, you know, meditative exercises, I guess. And for me, if I'm still awake after 15, 20 minutes, then I'm doing something wrong or I'm really distracted. Normally I'm out by the time, you know, 10 minutes is up. And that's definitely a new thing for me. I never really believed in the whole mental thing. I thought that was all, you know, I kind of thought those people were crazy, to be honest. But now that I've been trying it, you know, it really has made a big difference. And in most aspects of life, I don't really have routines so much. You know, I've never really been like that. But lately, especially when it comes around sleep, and I guess what I eat, because I am not very adventurous there. But when it comes to my sleep routine, I mean, that is something that I'm super on top of, because just getting a good night's rest makes such a huge difference. Because then I wake up in the morning, and whether you wake up at 5 or you wake up at 8, if you have 8 hours, 9 hours of sleep, you're going to be ready to do whatever it is that you need to get done. So, you know, learning how to take care of yourself when you're sleeping too is something that I feel like is often overlooked, but can be, and I mean, it is just as important as what you eat and how you exercise throughout the day. So it's just another aspect of taking care of yourself. So if you're not sleeping enough, try something new because it will definitely help.
That's great. I mean, that's an excellent point. I think the importance of enough sleep and establishing something that works. Lisa, what tends to work for you?
Well, I really am kind of like Alex. I'm a read before bed kind of person. I can relate to what Alex is saying because he said about if something makes him mad or, you know, if I'm reading a book that's, well, I've learned the hard way, I shouldn't read motivational stuff when I'm falling asleep. Puts me in a wrong frame of mind. And I really think that sometimes we think of sleep as a switch we turn off and on. Okay, it's time to sleep, so I'm gonna put on my music and I'm gonna put on my nature sounds and I'm gonna put my mind in this calm, happy place. I mean, I may have been going 100 miles an hour just 30 minutes ago, but now I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. And I really think it's also about it being kind of a continuum. And again, it's where this hourly chime app is such a helpful thing because, you know, we don't see the changing sky outside.
Yeah.
I'm not really much of a TV watcher, so I need something to kind of mark time. And so I usually go to bed a little after 11. So when my app chimes 10, it's not like I stop the presses, but I start winding down. So for me, in that case, it's not really an app. It's more of a state of mind, although the hourly chime does help keep me aware. There are lots of good ones. Someone mentioned Headspace. Mel from Blind Alive found a really interesting app, which has some little fun things at the beginning. But once you get past those, it's quite accessible with voiceover. It's called Meditation Studio. And we're going to have a review of that in an upcoming podcast. A lot of people also really like Nature Space. And basically what that allows you to do is play your music along with nature sounds.
Okay.
My biggest problem with sleep is not falling asleep. It's staying asleep if I wake up in the night. And so someone needs to invent an app for that. I'm thinking it should be called like the hammer or something. You know, you're out again. But until then, you know, that's a thing. Although then that really, and not so much meditation like with words, but that's where I have I've been fortunate. I haven't needed to use it in a while. I can't even think what I call, relaxation. Sometimes the simple is the obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a relaxation playlist on my phone, and I will sometimes put that on in the night. If I wake up and I can't sleep, and the music is relaxing, and it's familiar enough, it's not like, oh, I wonder what's coming up next,
right,
because it's all music that I already have. It's not someone else's curated idea, because especially with relaxation, some of it is genuinely relaxing to me, and some of it is spooky.
Yeah, it can get a little weird.
I really think that a good foundation, if you want to get into health apps, really is to get to know your device, know what it can do. And then, you know, it's fine to ask, okay, what's everybody and their brother using? That's perfectly fine because it's a good place to start. But, you know, sometimes you just need to ask, what do I need this app to do? I had a situation where I was looking for a calendar app and no one was looking for the features I was. Mm-hmm. And it was about an 18-month odyssey. And I finally found it. And I've heard of situations like that too with people and health apps. You know, you look until you find something. There are apps that will wake you when they think you're at the most active part of your sleep-wake cycle around the time you want to get up in the morning to help you wake up. There are apps where you can pay. Like if you exercise, if you meet your goals, you get money. If you don't, you have to pay in.
Oh, wow.
And that's controlled through an app.
I want that.
I'm drawing a blank. I can't remember the name.
I know what you're talking about. I tried it for like a day. I'm like, this is too stressful. I can't
I did it for like, 6 months.
Oh, really? Wow.
I'm
impressed.
I made about $40. It was pretty cool.
I couldn't commit. I was too scared. Yeah.
But the accessibility with voiceover was really iffy. Yeah. Pact. That's the name of it. Pact yep. app.
Okay.
If you go, I think it's like pactapp.com or something, or if you just look up Pact, and it may have changed, but I mean, I've looked at so many health apps. I did the Zombies Run thing. I jokingly said that mine was called Zombies Trudge. But there are tons out there. So really, I mean, it doesn't matter, seriously, if you are running marathons or if you're morbidly obese, there are apps that you can use. I mean, whether you're on the move all the time or you barely get out of bed, there's somewhere you can start. There's an app that will help you if apps motivate you. If they don't, then, you know, for me, they do, because I like playing with new stuff.
Sure. Yeah, and that's kind of the beauty of it, is everybody is different. When you find that thing that works for you, it can really be a life-changing, you know, endeavor, and it's totally worth the time that it takes to make those changes and to build those positive routines. So I definitely encourage people, if you're sitting there thinking like, yeah, I really should be doing that, like, do it. Why? What? You know, what are you waiting for? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, because there's people here that have obviously lots of opinions and lots of advice and places to start from. And, you know, everything that we've talked about might not work for you, but there is something out there that probably will. And when it does work, you're going to love it.
And a lot of them have social sharing elements. So if this motivates you, you can share your stats to Facebook or Twitter. You can join challenges with other people. For example, Fitbit does a lot of this, where you can compete to take the most steps. You know, there are lots of ways to use these apps.
And it's not just the apps too. There are also, I do want to throw this out here real quick before we end. There are other devices aside from these that still hook into the Apple ecosystem. And I'm assuming all our listeners are Apple people, because it's Apple this.
Right.
So I'm going to make that assumption here from the outset. You know, there are blood pressure monitors. There are, I believe there are blood glucometers. There's just a ton of stuff out there. There are scales.
Yeah.
All of this hooks into HealthKit. Yeah. But I also do want to caution people, if you're going to get into this stuff, don't get into it too much. You know, if you step on a scale every single day and you're doing everything right, you might still be gaining weight, or you might not be losing any, because yes. Guess what? Muscle mm-hmm. weighs more than fat.
Yeah.
So, you know, the popular thing is, and even Carrot is guilty of this, you weigh in, and if you weigh more, mm-hmm. Carrot gets mad at you. Or you get mad at you because popular culture says, guess what, weight's everything. Well, guess what? It's kind of not.
Yeah.
So I do want to encourage people, no matter where you start, no matter how far you get, it's not all about the weight. It's not all about the one measurement of whatever you're measuring. Hmm. It's
exactly.
It's a combination of everything. So just don't let one thing become your entire goal. And then when you fail to meet that goal, even if it's a completely ridiculous goal, you get, you know, depressed about it, and you give up.
Quit. Yep.
It's a whole system. And really, if you're really, really into this stuff, there are dietitians, there are people out there who can help you. There's online stuff. You can take classes online. But there are tons of tools out there. And yeah. I guess I'm just trying to say, don't let one measurement become everything, because you will get depressed at that one measurement. It's a journey, and yeah. it's a combination of everything.
And yeah. tools are like apps, really. One size does not fit all.
Yes.
I have a brief cautionary tale. I have a few friends who have Bluetooth-enabled scales, and they love them. And I really wanted one. And the price was right, and I got it. And I set it up with the app, and I thought, this is going to be so cool. And I, you know, I got the same one that they had, because it was accessible with VoiceOver. And so I weighed myself, and I was up close to 20 pounds. And then I thought, well, maybe I didn't do something right. And I moved the scale a little bit, and I weighed, and I was down. And then I was up, and I was down. And then I got smart, and I went to Amazon, where I purchased it, and I read the product reviews. I was so laser focused on whether or not it was accessible with VoiceOver, I found out that this scale would not work for me. I live in a basement apartment, essentially, and there are little tiny dips and valleys in my floor. Uh-huh. I can feel them under my feet. Sighted people apparently can't see them, but I can feel them under my feet. And when I read the product reviews, it said, you know, if this is your situation, or if your floor is tile, or if you have high pile carpet, you know, like if there was any irregularity in your floor, that any scale of this type would not work for you.
Wow.
And it was a mistake, you know, that it was an honest mistake. I was focused only on one thing. It was accessible for me. I wanted to get a scale that was accessible that would work with VoiceOver. And that's a good goal, but I really should have educated myself more. And especially with a device where you can be spending some money, that's a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've covered a lot of ground. This is one of those topics that I wouldn't mind revisiting at some point if we want to do this again in the fall to talk about how to, you know, to transition into the cooler climates or whatever. But really, I would like for those of you listening to leave some comments, either just right in the show notes on the podcast itself, or if you start a forum topic of some sort, talking about, you know, fitness and Apple products, however you want to do it. But definitely want to hear from you all to see if there's something that we missed, if there's something you'd like for us to talk about more in depth, because I think this is something that's really important, and probably many of us in the blind community maybe haven't really paid as much attention to making sure we were fit as we should. So definitely hope that that you get something out of this, and that maybe we can even talk about this a little more later on down the road. Let's go ahead and give our contact information one more time, make sure that everyone knows how to get a hold of us. Be sure and check the show notes, by the way. I will make sure that we have links to most, if not all, of these apps that have been mentioned in the show notes so that you can check them out. Start again with Miss Lisa. So at Lisa Sally, LISASALI on Twitter is probably the best way to get a hold of you. Also, we mentioned it earlier, blindalive.com just kind of dovetails right into what we're doing, because they're accessible workouts designed for blind people and by blind people in many cases, or all cases, I guess. So that's a great place to be. So Lisa, thank you for being with us this time around.
My pleasure. This was lots of fun.
Mike Malarcy, malarcy.com, M-A-L-A-R-S-I-E. Mike, is that also how they can get a hold of you on Twitter?
Twitter is at Mike Malarcy.
Oh, at Mike Malarcy. Yep. Okay, very
good.
Four
extra letters.
Sure. All right. A man that many of you know from podcasts and different things on the internet. You were actually on Blind Alive, right? Didn't you do an interview with them?
I did do an interview with them.
I thought so. We'll have a link to that in show notes as well, to that podcast. Excellent.
Mike talked all about setting up his home gym.
That's right. That's what triggered
it's almost
it.
Done.
When he mentioned the CrossFit gym. That's yes.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Alex, we've mentioned at VO Tips. What is your personal Twitter feed?
My personal one is one that I picked many, many years ago before I thought about how horrible it would be for all the screen reader users of the world.
Yeah.
It is at M-E-H-G-C-A-P.
All right.
Yeah, have fun with that.
Yeah, yes.
And absolutely. You know what? I always forget, but I actually do have a blog. It's okay. Not Apple-related so much. I recently kind of restarted it. I uh-huh. found a much better hosting solution. Alex Hall, all one word, uh-huh. .blot.im. And I do highly recommend blot.im as a blogging platform in general. I really like them a lot.
Okay. I didn't know about that. So that's yeah, very interesting. I'll have to check that out. You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Pauls, JAMIEPAULS. My blog has not been updated in a long time, so I won't even give you that right now until I decide to do something with it. I have been a little bit more active on Access World, so afb.org/AW, the monthly Access World magazine, and I contribute to them. So thank all of you for joining us this evening. Thank you for listening. And until next time, stay well.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleVis Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applevis.com. Follow us on Twitter at AppleVis and like us on Facebook.